we are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Welcome to Toward Anarchy. I am Michael Storm. Thank you so much for joining me. I am live. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. And wow, as always, a pleasure to be here, and I'm overwhelmed by the of life, of life. It's just that at this time of year, there's just so much extra stuff to do, right? Every time you turn around, there's something new to do, and it all compounds depending on how many things you're responsible for, how many people you're responsible for, whether it's your responsibility to buy the turkey or cook the turkey or round up the people and make the arrangements for family to visit and find places for them to sleep. And I have all of those things going on. All of those things are going on at the moment. And every time you turn around, it's another talk, another mention of Christmas, the fact that Christmas is just around the corner, and it's that time of year where you just seem to be getting pulled in every direction, and I'm enjoying it. I really am, actually. I don't know. It's just been a fantastic year, and I'm looking forward to getting into 2023 with the business growing and just my own life growing and changing as it does all the time. And I'm just really excited about it. I'm really excited about it. I'm excited for my own individual future. Then I start, sort of looking at the news and what's going on at the world, I'll see a headline or he'll hear a story. Somebody will be talking about something that's gone on, and I don't have as great a outlook for a lot of people because I think a lot of people are screwed, and by their own hand sometimes in a lot of ways. I just don't know. There's so much news. There's so much information. There's so much manipulation of the economy. There's so much manipulation of opinion that we just really don't know what's going to happen. I know that you can take a look at those things, the news, the headlines, the word that's going around, and you can kind of build up an idea of what might be happening and try to reconcile it all, paint a little clearer picture for yourself and maybe for others, I suppose, if they ask. I guess sometimes people really do ask what other people think, what their opinion of things is. I've just been going through I'm watching the economy, right? Everybody is. And it's just back and forth, and it's just constant manipulations, and there's no understanding of really what is going on. And I still go back to the idea that no matter what you're seeing in the headlines, positive economy wise, that it's still a manipulation, and that it's only focused in on this small area, this one point in time, this one place. And when you pull back and you look at the bigger picture, things are still in decline. And there's no particular reason to say that they're going to get better. There's not any. It's just a back and forth. You get something like the Wharton professor Jeremy Siegel. He says that the stock market has bottomed out and that bond yields have peaked. and the Fed will stop tightening soon. So he has a little bit better outlook on it. But, you know, sort of 2 hours before that, the EU came out and said that it may ban banks and crypto providers from dealing in any privacy enhancing coins under new anti-money laundering laws. And that's just one little aspect of what's going on. You got to keep reading. You got to keep seeing all these headlines and reading these stories, and you can slowly start to put together the what might be happening. Maybe. Townhall.com, according to a statement from the New York Fed, the Federal Reserve and other banks are getting together, international banks getting together to have a trial run to explore the feasibility of an interoperable network of central bank wholesale digital money and commercial bank digital money operating on a shared multi-entity distributed ledger. Digital currency is what they're talking about, replacing the dollar with a digital currency. They're going to see if they can do it. Well, of course they can do it. They're already doing it. They've been doing it for some time. But now what they've been doing is they've been turning the dollar digital. Now what they'd like to do, I imagine, is try to find a way to dump the dollar and move directly into a digital currency. And this is problematic for a bunch of reasons. Of course, it destroys – it's an effort. It's a concerted effort to finish off, to destroy the dollar that we all use. Even if they don't do that, they still introduce a currency, a digital currency, into the system, one that's eventually going to replace the dollar, they say. And that's exactly what will happen. Whether they mean to do it or not, the physical dollar will go away. And it will go away because of usage, natural usage. As they turn more and more things toward digital currencies and accepting digital currencies and making it easier for people to pay and all of the positive things, generally positive speaking things that come along with the introduction of a new currency, except that in this case, people will stop using the dollars. They'll just stop using them because there'll be less and less place to use them. Less and less places will take them. You won't need them, and so people will use them less. And eventually, you won't be able to use them. They'll just stop printing them. There won't be any more. And of course, that's step 7, 8 on rung 8 on the ladder to total domination of the individual, of the currency, of the entire global market. That's the move, right? Because we've already seen this. I've talked a little bit about it on the show. I showed you one particular company that was moving towards it and making it happen here in America, and that's these social credit scores. And it's funny because the Fed announces this the other day about this trial on this digital currency. And I mention it to my business partner, Ben. And he says, well, that's okay. I don't really care. Because I explained to him the same thing that I'm explaining now. It's this progression. You introduce the digital currency. You introduce the social scores, the social credit scores. And then eventually these things become intertwined together. And based on your score, your money is controlled. You can't make as much. You can't work certain places. You can't buy certain things. You can't buy anything. You can't access your money. These are all the potential pitfalls of entirely digital exchange system, digital market, digital currency. It sets us up for this. And Ben says to me, he says, I don't care about that because I don't participate in social media. And he's right. He doesn't participate in social media. But that's not the point. He didn't understand how this works. I had to explain to him, and I've talked to you about this before, that this is how this thing works, because it's already happening this way. Eventually, government adopts it because it's good business, and it's what business is doing, and it's what businesses are doing, and it's what government wants. It's what manipulated. It's what all government. Let's face it. There's no such thing as good government. It's an oxymoron. Good government. It doesn't work. There's no such thing. All government is its own beast, its own Leviathan, its own creature that once you get its potential, turn its potential into kinetic energy, there's nothing that stops it until you put more energy up against it. Or, as I always suggest, that you take all your energy out of it. And so we're headed that way. And at the same time, the European banks, the central bank says that the recession has become more likely there. Global stock market rally could be about to meet its recession reality. The crypto thing, the FTX thing that just happened, there's some manipulations, some things going on in there that have to do with the way government is controlling and attempting to regulate cryptocurrencies. Let's see, stagflation, something that I've talked about over the last few years. And again, this is a strut. You just don't understand how elastic this is, especially when they're in there messing around with it and you're not really paying attention. And the trickle down, the damage that they do is slow. It's slow to take effect on the system. Stagflation is now the consensus view on Wall Street for 2023. Investors' sentiment remains historically bearish. That's through Bank of America in particular. Bond recession indicator hits most extreme level in 40 years, raising questions about this stock rebound. And this thing about the FTX, this is what I started to say here. Paul Krugman, the Nobel laureate, this clown that they just gave a Nobel Prize to in economics, which he's an amazing economist. He's really good at his job. He lies about what economics really is and obfuscates our reality when it comes to money and it comes to markets. He's really good at his job. He definitely deserved a Nobel in exactly the same way Obama deserved a Nobel Peace Prize for waging multiple wars during his period of president. Let's see. Krugman calls for a crypto crackdown. Get this. Krugman calls for a crypto crackdown after the FTX fiasco and warns regulation could wipe out the industry. So if you're calling for regulation, does that not mean you want to wipe out the industry? I don't get that. I don't get this man. That's why you can't trust him. He's a weasel. There you go. That's it. Epstein documents are to be unsealed. So that means that a bunch of people are going to have to find a new cause for their cause. South Park reference. If you don't know, you don't know. I go to towardanarchy.com. I'm sitting here. I'm just looking at a couple of these headlines, a couple of things that I wrote down in my notebook to talk about. This was kind of tragic. This just happened just a few minutes ago. A couple hours ago, Jason David Frank killed himself. Apparently, he was the original Green Ranger, and this is I wouldn't necessarily know about that except that we actually had been working to get him to come into the store to do a signing for us and meet and greet and meet some of the kids. We'd already had we'd already had Tommy, the Red Ranger, last year in the store, and we were gonna have Jason in there as well. And it sucks because it doesn't seem like there's anything particular. The guy's had a good life. He's an eighth degree black belt, and of course hugely popular for his stint on the Power Rangers, and he ran a he went out and he did some MMA fighting. He's a real fighter. He's not one of these actor fighters. He's a real fighter. Some of these guys are, some of them are not. He was, and he fought in MMA. He did a bunch of training and had some sort of junior bouts, things like that, that he was successful in. And then he had one professional match in MMA that he was victorious in under a minute, in fact. So good fighter. And other than the fact that he'd been through a divorce here recently, it seemed like all was going well. So you just don't know. And unfortunately, of course, my business partner, Ben, he doesn't have quite the same sense of humor I do. And so, of course, when he lets me know about this, I said, well, obviously he's not going to be in the store then. We're not going to get him into the store. But that's not a shot at Jason or the fact that he's dead in any way. That's just a very obvious take on something that we've been in exchanging emails and phone calls with his management, and we had all but made the arrangements. He was going to be here. It was going to happen. And so that was just all our effort and everything. And now, obviously, it's all for naught because he's not. And don't get me wrong. I feel bad for the people that he knew and who loved him. And they have to deal with the fact that this happened, that he did this, and that he took his own life. If that's actually what happened, it's still fairly preliminary, but it sounds like sources close to him that say that's what's happened. And I feel sorry for these people, but I don't feel sorry for dead people. You understand? I definitely don't feel sorry for dead people who take their own lives. You understand? Do you get this? We're supposed to pretend like that they should still be here, that we should, that it's, we have this selfish thing with death that, you know, you're not supposed to kill yourself. You're not supposed to exit this world without somebody else's permission. You're not supposed to leave loved ones behind. It's just a no-no. You can't do that. And so people have this weird perception about it. But my thing is one, if you take your own life, then you must have your reasons. You must be doing it because you're in pain. And it's your life. It's yours. You are your property. If you go to towardanarchy.com, look for November 20th. We'll get there here. We'll hit this break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about a couple of these things that are up there. You are your own property. You are your own property, and you make the choices about you, and that includes life or death. And so I don't feel sorry for a dead person that took their own life because they took their own life. That was the best thing for them. They feel that was the best thing for them. That is what they wanted for themselves. So I don't feel bad for them in any way. I don't feel bad for dead people at all, because what's the other end of that? So somebody somebody takes their life, and that was their choice, and it's what they wanted, and that's the exit that they chose. The other end of it is somebody takes somebody's life. That's tragic. That's a whole other conversation. But the other end of that is the just natural death. Somebody just dies. Well, people die, so I don't feel bad for people who die either. I mean, they live their life. That's what happens. So it's just a weird difference. Separation that some people may not understand from our normal acceptance of what death is or how we're supposed to feel about people who died. It's been a long time since I thought selfishly about death. Let's put it that way. And so we are going to drop into this break here in just a second. And, we'll come back and we'll go to towardanarchy.com. We'll look at November 20th and we'll talk about property. That's what I want to talk about today. Just simple, dive into it a little bit. Spend the 40 minutes that we have left or so talking about property and various aspects of property. It's just a little 101, a little practical and moral guide to learning to keep your hands off other people's. We'll be back.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, secret. .com. SusannaSecret.com.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Do me a favor, please support the network, republicbroadcasting.org. If you go to republicbroadcasting.org, there's a number of ways to do that. The simplest, easiest way, just click the donate button and make a little donation, whatever you can throw down. Every dollar counts. Every dollar is responsible, has been responsible. You, the listener, have been responsible for the decade plus of RBN and just the – gosh, it's an amazing feat that's been pulled off, and I'm lucky to be a part of it, and I'm glad that you're a part of it. And if you can help keep this tradition of you know, truth and free speech going, then please do at republicbroadcasting.org. Click the donation button, the donate button over on the left-hand side up at the top, or in the middle right up at the top is the RBN store. It's just a little link right there at the top that says RBN store. It's nothing fancy, but it's right there in the middle up at the top, and you can't miss it. And there's that win-win situation where these products and services support the network, and they make this happen for all of us. And everybody wins. The people who provide those products and services, they get some money for those things. You get the product or the service. We get the kickback on the whole thing, and it helps keep the network rolling, and all of these voices coming to you can hopefully continue to come to you for many, many more years to come. It's republicbroadcasting.org, so help support the network. I go to towardanarchy.com. You can get to the republicbroadcasting.org from there. There's all kinds of neat little things at towardanarchy.com, including in the articles section. There's an article in there about private property rights, and this is something that I wrote a few years back. I don't even remember exactly when it was that I wrote it, but it was about this whole notion of showing the receipts. It came up again. It comes up all the time. I see it all the time. This idea of not showing your receipt to the guy at the door, or throwing a fit whenever the guy at the door asks you to show the receipt. First of all, why do you create that much hassle for yourself? You just had the receipt in your hand. All you have to do is still have it in your hand. You don't create any friction. You get to say hi to the person at the door and maybe make their day by not being a jackass to them. I mean, there's just so many reasons why you wouldn't do this to yourself. You know, going into the store, that there's a potential that they could check your receipt coming out the door. And so you tacitly agree to that by going on to their property. This is the conversation about property rights, and I thought we were done with this particular conversation, but I just, this keeps coming up, and there are other things that make me want to talk about the property thing, because I think it's completely misunderstood. There are people on the left that have this notion that property is a bad thing. There are these weird sort of ideas that nobody should own anything, certainly not land, certainly not resources. But then they don't talk about, they don't have any reasonable solution other than government force as to how these things are used at all by anyone. Who gets to say? Certainly ownership of it. Putting the work into something to create it, the hours, the time, the labor, the investment, whatever it is to produce this thing, should give somebody the right to them. But I the right to their product, and that seems real clear to me. It seems like it should be kind of obvious, but we still have the conversation. We still end up talking about it, and in some really weird terms, and for some really weird reasons. And so I don't get the Walmart thing, and I've been there. Okay, I get it. I initially, when they started doing it, I was the same way. I had this same thought in my head. You know, screw you guys, man. I just checked this stuff out myself, or you just checked me out just 2 seconds ago. But then it only took me a split second of the one bad interaction, just sort of, this sucks, this is stupid, this, you know, why are you doing this, why are you wasting my time, and then stopping a second and thinking about it and realizing that I knew this could happen when I came in the store, so therefore I must accept that it can happen. They're not violating me. That's some people keep making this argument about being violated and using that as an excuse to be a jerk to someone, because that's really what it comes down to. It's all you're doing when you won't show your receipt. You could be causing a huge problem for yourself, but all you're really doing is being a jerk to that guy who's just sitting there at the door. That's all you're doing, because he can't do anything about it. It's not his choice to necessarily be there. We'll pick up the conversation of property rights in that aspect and others when we get back.
I want the truth! You can't have handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy-to-take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam. Works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene. 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W. 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya. 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
Yes, yes, it makes you crazy. You are crazy. I love music. I love that song. That's one of my. It's up there. It's hard to. I couldn't do a top 10. Couldn't do a top 100. Might not be able to do a top 1,000. I love music. It was great last night. I got home from the comic book shop, and came in, threw on the TV. Saw that they were doing the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. It was airing live, and I guess it was just on HBO. So I rolled the DVR backward and started watching it, and that was really neat. I enjoyed that. They inducted a lot of great people last night, Judas Priest being one of the bands that was inducted last night, so that was really cool. A Priest fan, you have to be if you're a metal fan, because they are so significant in what metal music is. I know some metalheads may not know this, they may not understand the importance of a Judas Priest, and it's unfortunate because as we go further and further into the future, that influence is that potential for that influence, that understanding of the influence will fade. But as it is, you know, Judas Priest responsible for that look. That was the sort of the leather and spikes and things like that. It was actually what was going on in the S&M clubs and gay clubs and things like that, that Rob Halford was prone to visiting, apparently. He is open about that idea. In fact, when he got on stage last night, the first thing he said when he took the microphone was, I'm the gay guy in the band. So it's just kind of funny that that's still a thing after all these years. Everybody gives a damn about his sexual proclivities when they have, you know, this amazing catalog of music and their influence over not just the look, but the sound of that dueling guitar, that double axe sound, that double axe attack, they like to call it, that's uniquely it's not any more unique, but at the time it was. There wasn't too many other people doing things like that. Maybe Thin Lizzy kind of perfected it a few years later. I mean, it's even really right around the same time. All those bands been around for long, long time. I just really enjoyed, you know, what was fun was watching Rob Halford and Dolly Parton sing Jolene together. that was entertaining. Eminem was inducted last night, and Steven Tyler and Ed Sheeran were both on stage with Eminem to perform, and I didn't know this. I've never watched the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony before. I've never really paid attention to it. I see every year that they introduce people into it, and there's some controversy over it. I guess the controversy this year was supposed to be Dolly Parton because she was the headline, and she was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I guess this happens every time that there's somebody, someone like an Eminem, some polarizing figure, somebody that doesn't do rock music, as it were. I did a quote today. I don't know why the hell I did that. You can't see me. they don't do rock, so they don't deserve to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And of course, that's silly. It's not just the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It would be different if there were Rap Hall of Fame and people were inducted into it, and everyone else was excluded, but they're not. There's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It could just as easily should maybe be called the Music Hall of Fame, but whatever. It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and there's influences in there, people that if just because you don't like rap, just because you don't like Eminem, the greatest, largest, most successful selling rap artist of all time, just because you don't get it and don't like it doesn't mean it's not music. It doesn't mean that it's not rock and roll, because Eminem is very much rock and roll, and so is Dolly Parton. And it was great last night because she did this. She performed a song that she wrote specifically for the performance for the induction, because she is like a lot of people in terms of that base core idea. Well, I'm not really a rock star. I don't really belong here in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But you know what? Rock and roll has always been in my bones and in my blood, in my country soul, as she puts it in the song. And she'll be rock and roll until the cows come home. It was a cute little song. It was totally Dolly. It wasn't rock and roll. It was country. There's no question about that. But let's start talking about four chords. Let's start talking about beats. Let's start breaking down music. And I mean, it's all the same when you really get down to it. It serves the same purpose, and it's all very much made the same way. There's hardly a difference between country music and rock music. And then of course there's hardly a difference between classical music and metal music. Most metalheads, myself included, most people in metal bands, most performers of metal music will tell you that they have a very deep love and respect for classical music. I certainly do. I was raised that way. I attended symphonies all my life. I played a brass instrument myself for many, many years. I absolutely respect and love and understand that connection, and it's super special. I tangented off onto that a little bit, but get back with me here. Go to towardanarchy.com. If it's not right on the front page, click on the episodes button. If you're not with me live, look for 2022 in November, and it's the 20th, and I'm talking about property in the background here. It all ties together. It all ties together with the economics and everything that I've talked about today, because, well, it just does. It all works together when we're talking about these things. I'm not entirely sure how so many people can be listening all the time, but yet so few here. So we have to go back to these basics, and I have to treat people like kids and talk to them about property and really the very simple, practical, the moral approach to the understanding, the relearning of how to keep your hands off of other people's stuff. It's really that simple. And property is that simple. It's that easy. If it's not yours, it's someone else's. That's how you have to approach it, and that's how you have to we have a tacit understanding of this. One of the things that I don't get about the attack on the Walmart employees, the attack on Walmart and their insistence on checking receipts at the door, I don't get it because of that very simple notion that you know that it's going to happen when you go into the store. You know this is a possibility. You respect property rights. You wouldn't want someone to come into your home and start sticking their stuff in your pockets, start sticking it in baskets and bags or whatever, what have you, and then walk out with it. If you thought they had done so, don't you feel like in your home you have the right to ask them to stop and to prove that they haven't taken something from you? I know it seems like it's a weird thing, but it only seems weird to you because you're not a grocery store. You don't have to protect your property in that way. You're not accustomed to protecting your property in that manner. I suggest to you that other people around the world are. In Armenia, we had a guest on the show here. I won't stray too far here. That lives in Armenia, and his neighbors just walk into his house all the time. That's what they do. If he doesn't have it bolted and everything just completely locked down, they will just wander in and they will lay claim to his stuff and they will take his stuff. You're not used to that. You don't understand what it's like to have to protect your things from people coming into your home. Maybe you do. Maybe you had those friends. I had a guy here. He grew up here in Topeka. In fact, this was back when I was in college. He was in the Topeka, Manhattan area. He was in Manhattan at the time, but I believe he was from Topeka. And my good friend Jeff had given me a guitar pick, a signed guitar pick from Pepper Keenan, and I watched Pepper hand Jeff the guitar pick. He went up to Pepper after the show as they were getting on the bus. We're in Lawrence, in fact, just down the street here where KU is at, and Jeff walked up to Pepper after the show as they're getting ready to get on their bus and introduced himself and said hi, and Pepper gave him a pick, and he gave him a bullet. He signed a bullet for him. That's what it was. And Jeff gave me the pick, and I had this, and I had it in my collection, and this scumbag, he took he he took my pick. He took this gift of music. I love Pepper. I love Corrosion of Conformity. And this was a gift from a good friend of mine, a college friend, someone I'm still friends with to this day, at least digitally. We don't see each other very often, but you know, we cross paths on the social media, follow each other all the time, so we're connected and we're still friends, and we still like and share some of these same things, and I've experienced it. That's just one example. I could probably come up with more if I really thought about it. But this is where we're at in terms of maybe a disconnect between what you understand protecting your property is and what someone protecting their larger inventory in their store is. I've had somebody steal things from my own store and have had to protect my property and do things, set up cameras and considered a bolt on the door, a magnetic bolt that locks the door. So it's not quite as easy to push your way through it. It slows them down that split second more, more video footage, more chance for me to go up and kick him in the side of the head, whatever it happens to be, to defend your own property. And I absolutely have the right to do that. You don't have any right. I don't care if the name on my store is Walmart or not. I don't care if you don't believe that Walmart is people, because it absolutely is. It represents millions of people all around the world, not to mention just the people who shop at it and rely on it to provide them for some sort of income or their sustenance, either way, and both in many, many cases. For millions and millions of people around the world, it is real people. I don't care what the name of that store is. You don't have the right to disrespect their property. You don't have a right to their property, even when you've already paid for it. You're still in the store. The argument of being, well, I don't have to show my receipt. I just paid for this. It's mine now. Well, the receipt is the proof that you paid for it. That's it. That's all. And they're not, why give yourself the hassle? Okay, so that's only one aspect of this whole property thing. And here's another reason that we have to have this conversation, because we're entering a new era. We're entering a new understanding of what is important to individuals in terms of physical assets, real things. And we're entering a digital age where it is in fact a reality that we have digital things, and that digital things have value, and that those digital things can replace many, many other things. Currency, it's replaced paper, generally speaking. I have to go out of my way to remember to print stuff all the time because I just don't do it anymore. I have a printer over there. It's a laser printer. It's a nice printer. It prints a whole bunch of pages per minute, and I have to make myself remember to use it. I have to use it later today to print out a couple of receipts to mail off some comic books to be graded here today. So I'm trying to actually make myself remember to do that, so I don't go to the shop without having taken that with it. We don't use paper anymore, and it's just one aspect of it, and it's a very real aspect. It's something that it's tangible. It's an idea that people can grasp, especially people of any age, people who have lived through the change from paper, from things like fax machines, to digital transmission of the same information and storage of it more often than not even needing to print anything out of it. It's just there. It's on the computer. It stays. That's it. And there's value to it. So some people will understand this concept a little bit better than others, but it should be. You shouldn't have to understand it. This is the point I'm getting. It doesn't matter if you believe that some piece of property, somebody else's piece of property, is worth something, because it's not yours. You have to respect it. If you want people to respect what you believe is yours, then you have to in turn respect what other people believe is theirs. If they believe that there is value in their digital file, whatever it is, who are you to take it? Who are you to give it to other people? Who are you to say anything other than commentary. I mean, if he wants your opinion about the content, the quality of that digital file, what it's worth, then by all means. But in real practical terms, and in real moral terms, your understanding of property should be this. It's his property. It's not mine. I respect it. If for no other reason than I want him to respect my property, what I believe to be mine. And it just seems like it's the right place to be in. And there's it comes along a lot with this IP, digital stuff, intellectual property. There's this whole high and mighty libertarian Austrian anarchist group of people who believe that IP is not a thing. I am not one of those people. I actually understand what's happening to us as a people and what's happening in technology. And I get that there is a paradigm shift and there is value in things that you don't value. That's why it shouldn't matter to you. So if you don't value it, don't buy it. That's where subjective and objective valuation come into play, where the only place where it really actually matters is when you put your money where your mouth is or don't put your money where your mouth is, as the case may be, to make your statement about the quality, the usefulness of a thing. And then when it's not yours, when it's somebody else's, shut the hell up about it. I get the idea of talking to people about misappropriation, misplacement of assets and investing in things that they may not get their money back out of that they don't understand. But I have to go back to the basics on that one. Don't invest in what you don't understand. And Even if you think you understand it, don't let people lie to you about it and convince you that it's something that it's not. I have told you from day one about the digital currencies. I've warned you about what it really is and what it means to other people and what it means to you and what it could mean. The real value in these digital files that are worth something, but the real value in terms of what it can do to hurt you if you don't understand what's going on and if you refuse to look at it. And so I've been on both sides of this. I've been right on both sides of this issue, and because I've held both the moral and the practical position on the understanding of digital properties. And I'll reiterate those. You think that IP is not worth something? Tell that to the people who make money off of their ideas. Tell that to the people who feed their families off of the music that you download. I'm not telling you not to download it. No, I don't believe you violated them. But I, somebody, if you download their music, I don't believe that. Absolutely not. You haven't hurt them in any way. But if you truly love that piece of music, you truly respect the individual who created it and their right to their property in terms of what they should get for what they've done and the joy that they've given to you, then you should probably pay for it. That's the moral place. I get the practical place. Practically, it didn't hurt them. Fantastic. But the moral place is, and that's where we should all be, because practicality only works in a courtroom. It only works in a sterilized situation where it's a deal, a deal between people, a contract, something like this. This is what practical means are for. The rest of the time, we should be guided by our morality. And our morality is yeah, that guy thinks that is worth something. I don't. I don't find value in comic books. I don't find value in plastic toys. I don't find value in digital currencies or digital properties. But he does. And more power to him. And it's not my place to save him from himself. I could put out information to tell you about these things and tell you about the pitfalls, the dangers of them. But I should not sit there and preach to you, as some people do, some people who have been on this show, that IP that intellectual property is not property. It's property. It's property to somebody, and that's what matters. The obvious things I didn't even really get into, that the fact that you're your own property and that nobody owns you. These are all extensions. That's the money thing. So if you are your own property, nobody owns you, then that means the product of your labor, your effort, your time, all of these things are yours and uniquely, individually yours, and nobody else owns them either. And that's why we have a problem with our economy, with our dollar, with the digital dollar that's coming down the pipeline. You want to be warned? I'm warning you now. I was right about the vaccines. I was right about Bitcoin. I'm right about the economy. I'm right about where it is headed in terms of being used as a control mechanism. You better be prepared, and you better be working on setting up the parallel systems and the different ways to function outside of that system. You better be able to find a way to exchange, not just barter, but exchange with people. Because the problem with barter, I got to get this in before we hit the end of the show here. The problem with barter is when somebody doesn't have what you need, or you don't have what they need. That's when you need currency. That's when you need money. That's what you need. That's when you need gold. You need silver. You need bullets. You need practical, real-world, physical things, generally speaking, to be able to exchange with someone something that they don't. That they don't have, that they need, that you don't have, that you need, whatever it is, that they can take this other thing and maybe trade it with somebody else to get what they want. And when all that's manipulated, when all that's controlled and digital, you're going to have a hard time working within the system. So you better have some parallel systems. You better have some plans set up in place to be able to. You better have people around you who understand that they need to be able to trade, that they need to be able to understand the value of everything, not just the things that they value, that being the overriding point, the most important factor. Go to towardanarchy.com. Look for November 20th. There's more there for you, as always. I shared a link for you about the digital dollar pilot program. Also, just for some fun, Dr. Phil had some people on here this past week or so. I don't watch the show. I caught it later. He was on Joe Rogan, and I listened to him talking to Joe for a little bit. And he introduced some of these problematic words and phrases that they're trying to put a stop to, things like mom and dad, because some people don't have a mom and dad, I guess. They have two dads or two moms or something like that. And so mom and dad is a bad phrase now that we're not supposed to use anymore, along with blindsided. Apparently blindsided is offensive to blind people. That's a weird thing to me. But those are at towardanarchy.com under November 20th. Just a couple of links there for you to check out, and a quote and a meme as well. And I'm going to figure out how to do it, but I'll get Dr. Dean Lloyd in here next week. And till then, take care.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.